Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin to read in verse 17. Amen. Ephesians 4. Happy to be saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Looking for Jesus to come, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe He's coming. Just as Brother Lewis sung about, saints are going to rise one day. Amen. Ain't you glad we're going to get that new body one day? I'm thankful for that. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Look in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you again, Lord, for the good mercy that you've showed us. And Lord, for your salvation plan. We thank you for that tonight. Lord, we're very thankful for all the singing that's been done tonight, for every song, for every choir song, for every special song. I pray that they've honored you. Lord, we are certainly glad that we have the promise of that of the resurrection, and that because of the blood that has washed us and made us clean and white as snow tonight. But Lord, as while we preach tonight, we certainly need you. We need you to come by and help us while we stand tonight. We need to stand in that in the power of the Holy Spirit this evening. Lord, not in our own power, but in that that comes from heaven. Lord, that we might learn in that from the Word of God. For those that need conviction, I pray they'd find conviction tonight in you. God, we pray tonight for those that just need direction, or maybe there's some that need comfort. I pray it be found in your Word tonight. Lord, while we preach this evening, I pray again that you just anoint us afresh from heaven, and we want to give you the glory for it all, save the sinner it might be nearest to you. For these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As the Apostle Paul begins to write, or not begin, but in the middle of this chapter as he's writing, and that to the church at Ephesus, he's beginning to tell them and that how they need to walk. And he says, first of all, in verse 17, that we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And he's talking about lost people right here. He said, look, he said they have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And we know that the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 3, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we understand tonight that lost people have their mind and their heart and that blinded from the truth and that of the Lord. And verse 19, he went on to say, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. He said, these Gentiles, these wicked people that are unsaved, that's been blinded, and that by Satan have given themselves over in that to work the work of the devil, how to work all uncleanness with greediness. And I like what he said in verse 19. He said their past feeling. Can I say tonight, there's some folk out there that is past feeling tonight. I mean, they don't have any feeling. They have no feeling in that for the things of God, for the people of God, for the house of God. None of those things are important to them, nor are they going to be until the Lord gets a hold of their heart. And listen, I have no doubt that as the Apostle Paul and that was writing to the church at Ephesus, as he's established them and preached to them numerous times, that friend, no doubt of
of what some of these folk come out of. Listen, you get over to the city of Ephesus over there, to a place of where the Ephesians lived at, and you'll find out that they worshipped and that the Greek goddess Diana. And so, they were just filled in that with idolatry and given over to what made them feel good and what they wanted to do. And he said that they gave themselves over, given themselves over in the lasciviousness. In other words, in that of the work of the flesh, whatever felt good, what they wanted to work all uncleanness with greediness. But then he says right here in verse 20, he said, But ye have not so learned Christ. Now he's talking about lost people in verses 17 through 19. But then he begins to say, give the saved some instruction. He said in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, if you want the truth tonight, it's in the Lord. Amen. And I'm more concerned about the truth more than I am about anything tonight. You know, that's why the Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. I mean, you both need the truth this evening. No matter what the truth is, we need it tonight. We may not like the truth. Listen, this Bible right here is called the Word of Truth. He said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, I study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so this book tonight is the truth. But I want to preach in these latter scriptures that I read tonight as Paul begins to use words like put off and put on and put away and let and be. And so those are things that, friend, that after we get saved, things that we do. And you can title this message being different or having a change or making a change. And listen tonight, God does change us when we get saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But there's some changing in our life that we have to take and that we have to do if we're going to serve Christ tonight. I mean, folk think that it just comes so easy and that it comes natural. And our nature does get changed tonight when we get saved. And there's something inside of us that tells us that we ought to be doing right and that we ought to be doing these things. But if you don't want to do them, you don't have to. You may wish you did by the time that you get done, but you don't have to. Tonight, as I told these young people down in their Sunday school class this morning, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, and verse 17, the Bible tells us this. He said, for the flesh lusteth against... Let me say this. I'm not going to say nothing to you. You probably ain't already heard me say over the years. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It is a battle to do right. And you have to understand that. In your flesh, it is a battle to do right and to change and do what the Lord wants us to do sometimes, but we are to do it. I want to begin to look at, first of all, number one, at the contrast or the comparison between the old man and the new man. Look with me what he said right here. After he said that if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. If you've heard him, and that for salvation, heard him for instruction and being taught by him, then there's some things that we need to do in our Christian life. Let me say that first of all, as we see the contrast and that between the old man and the new man, he said first of all that we're to put off the former conversation. The former conversation, as I've told you numerous times, and that has to deal with our behavior or our deportment, how we carry ourselves, how people and that sees us. Now notice how the old man was. Now you got to realize he's preaching, if you let me say that. He's writing to save people. Amen. He's not writing to lost people. You cannot put off the old man until you get saved.
Amen.
No matter how much you try, the old man is not going to change until salvation comes in. Hey, listen, they tried to change legion in Mark chapter 5 numerous times, said they'd bind him up, but he would always break them chains, run around naked crying and hollering day and night and cutting himself and living in the tombs. And you know when they got afraid of him? When he met Jesus, he was clothed, seated in his right mind. That's when they got afraid of him. Hey, you know when the world gets afraid of us? When you get saved, that's when they get afraid of you, amen. Amen. Something different happened. But I want you to look. He gives a contrast or a comparison between the old man and the new man. He told us, first of all, to put off the former conversation, the old man. Now, why would he say that to saved people? Because saved people can still act like lost people.
Amen.
Amen. You can do that. And we're going to look at some of this stuff on down through here. But he said that the old man, and that was driven by the corrupt lust, and the corrupt, he was corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So the old man, and that was driven, and that by the lust of the flesh. He was driven by whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Whatever he desired to do, that's what the old man done. If he wanted to go out and drink, he went out and drunk. He wanted to go out and party, he went out and party. He wanted to go out and carouse around and have a big time. He wanted to sin, he went out and sin. Didn't think nothing else of it. Didn't think about the end of the thing. See, the Bible said he was corrupt according to what? To the deceitful lust. He didn't realize what was going to come and what was going to happen at the end of these things.
Amen.
See, that's where the devil's got folk blinded today. He's got them blinded of what the wages of sin is. It's death, ain't it? Hey, listen, folk thinks that they're having a big time. I was listening to the radio on the way here tonight as a feller talking about folk just laying up under the shade tree, think that they're having a great big time, having a time of this life. Hey, I'm going to tell you tonight, the old man is corrupt, but he's corrupt according to deceitful lust, and them deceitful lusts is going to get him one day. Amen, if you ain't careful tonight, if you're lost. But you're different than that, ain't you? He said to do what? To put off the old man. He said to put off the old man. I know you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but listen, I can't. That scripture bothered me when I first got saved. And after I got saved, because I didn't understand what it was talking about. You know, I thought when I got saved that everything, you know, I changed from the inside out. And boys, I began to grow and mature in Him. I began to realize it was a battle.
Amen.
And it was a fight in that to change, you see. See, He changes the inside, but we change the outside.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Come on.
Amen. You may not think so tonight, but you do. He told us that you put off the old man. You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And here's how you put him off. Hey, listen, that old man was driven by sin. That old man thought on sin all the time. That's all he wanted to do was go out and have a party and a big time, if you'd let me say that. Hey, Colossians 3 said, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Hey, you get your mind pointed in heaven. It's a little easier to put the old man off. Amen. You get to thinking on heavenly things, spiritual things, scriptural things, and you know what will happen? You'll begin to see a change of you to put off the old man. You go to the book of Philippians chapter 4, I believe it is, and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. He went on to say to be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. What that word renew means, it means to be revived or to return to a former state of good after bad. Do you know that your inner man has to be renewed every day? Paul said over in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it was, as he talks about temporal things and eternal things, but before he gets there, he talks about his outer man perishing, but his inner man is renewed day by day. Hey, our inner man must, and that be renewed. I mean, the new man has got to be renewed every day. Do you not renew your flesh every morning when you get out of bed?
There you go.
Seriously. I mean, if you did not renew your flesh every day, when you could not go, could you? Well, I get up. Now, my wife does not like to eat breakfast till about 10:30. I would starve to death. Do you know by 10:30 I've ate twice? Amen. Hey, I ate breakfast at about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. It's when I ate breakfast. By the time my feet hit the floor, I'm looking for something to eat. And most of the time, a cup of coffee sometimes.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
But you know, somewhere around 9:30, 10 o'clock, when she's eating for the first time, I'm eating the second time. And if I know that I'm going to eat lunch early, then I may not eat that little snack hour about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. But if I know lunch ain't going to be till about 1 or 2 o'clock, then I'm going to eat that snack. Why? Because I'm renewing my flesh. I'm feeding him to be able to go. I'm exercising him and going with him. See, you exercise this thing to go a little bit. Now, the Bible says that, what does it say? That bodily exercise profiteth little.
Yeah.
Now, but it does profit a little bit. And so we renew ourselves, and by what we take in and by what we exercise, you see. And the inner man is the same way. If you do not renew him day by day, if you do not feed him and exercise him, then friend, he's not going to be renewed. If you want to put off the old man, you're going to have to renew the new man and that to do it. Look in verse 24. Before I move on, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to renew your mind every day. It's got to be renewed in him. Your heart has to be renewed. But look, we put off. Now I'm talking about the contrast between the old man and the new man. That the old man must be put off. The actions of the old man must be put off because they are deceitful lusts that drive him. We are to renew our mind and add in the Lord Jesus. And in verse 24 he said, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the new man, the old man is put off. And the new man is put on.
Amen.
Say, well, does that mean that salvation is by works? No. When he's talking about putting on the new man, he's talking about putting on the new man on the outside. The new man is already on the inside. You got to get the new man on to the outside. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, Paul told us in Romans 6 when he's talking about getting saved over there. He's not talking about water baptism in Romans 6 too, by the way. You can't find no water nowhere around Romans 6. But he talks about that walking in the newness of life.
Yeah.
And I can remember when seeing that. You know, there's a lot of things I can remember seeing for the first time. But I remember seeing that for the first time and realizing what that means, that we ought to just walk like we're saved. We're to walk like saved people. When folk look at us, that we've put on the new man. And what did he say in verse 24? He said the new man was created how? He said, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, we've seen it this morning. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. He's not talking about talking when he uses the word conversation. He's talking about our deportment, how we carry ourselves. He said, so we're to be holy in our deportment, in our behavior. You know, folk ought to be able to look at how you live and say, right there is a saved girl, right there is a saved boy, right there is a saved man, right there is a saved woman, and they could tell by the way that you carry yourself. Amen. Folk ought to be able to look at us.
Amen.
And tell that we're different tonight. That we ought to be a righteous and a holy people. We ought to have righteous actions, righteous thoughts, holy actions, holy thoughts. Hey, we're created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Hey, we ought to want to please Him. We ought to want to be holy and righteous because of Him tonight. Hey, in our conduct, in our speech, in our dress, in our worship, it ought to be holy tonight. I got to thinking about that in our worship. What do you mean in our worship? Hey, what some people call worship ain't holy at all.
That's right.
Right. Amen. Their music ain't right. Their dress ain't right. Their speech ain't right. Their actions ain't right. Hey. Their thoughts when they come to worship ain't right. Hey, there ain't God ain't nowhere around, and it ain't worship to the God in heaven. Amen. Amen. Hey, we need a holy worship tonight. I could preach on that for a while. Hey, listen, he told Moses and he told Joshua both over there in Joshua, was it Joshua 5 or Joshua 6? I got to think about this morning when I was studying. He told Moses when he got over around the burning bush, I had to kick them shoes off because where he stood was holy ground. He got in the presence of God. Listen, he told Joshua the same thing. He said, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. I understand there's nothing holy about this building. Been set aside that for the worship of God. But we ought to be holy people. We ought to come with a holy mind and holy actions when we come to worship. Amen. You know why some of you can't worship? You've got so much world in your mind. You can't get it out soon enough to worship. Amen. I listened to a good message on that here a while back. By the time you get ready to worship, we're going home. Amen. I mean, I'll be honest, some church people, by the time they really get in the mood and that to worship, it's time to go to house. Amen. Hey, choir's done sung. Preacher's done preached. You finally got right. We're done. Amen. But worship time's over. But we see the contrast between the old man and the new man. The old man is filled with deceitful lusts, but the new man is created after God in holiness and in righteousness. Well, then number two, we see some commands for the new man. And by the way, I'm just doing what's called expository preaching tonight. I want you to look what he said. Verse 25. The very first thing that he dealt with after he talked about the old man and putting on the new man, then he said, wherefore putting away. All right, we put off and we put on, and now we're going to put away some things. He said, putting away lying. Speak every man truth as his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know one thing, or not one thing, but this is one thing that Christians should never be guilty of. Lying. Amen. He said what? The truth is in Christ. You know Christ is concerned about the truth. Everything about the Lord is truth tonight. And listen, if that's an attribute of God, and it's an attribute of Christ, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We ought to be concerned with the truth tonight. The truth of God's Word, the truth of it all. Hey, just tell them the truth.
Right.
Can I ask you something tonight? Do you have to teach your children to lie? You don't have to teach your children to lie. Y'all that's raised youngins, you know that. Lying comes natural, don't it?
Amen.
Man. They think they're going to get in trouble. If they can lie their way out of it, they'll lie their way out of it. Won't they? Huh? They'll do it. They'll lie. He said, well, they're just the kids. You better teach them now to tell the truth.
Amen.
Hey, I'm up here.
Amen.
You better tell it. You better teach your kids to
Come
tell
on.
The truth. You need to tell the truth.
Come on.
Huh? Think it's funny when your kids lie. You let it roll on. You know what they'll turn into? They'll turn into a liar is what they'll turn into.
Yeah, that's good. Come on.
But you know what? Tonight, Christians should never be guilty and that of lying. Golly, bum. Broke my chain. But I got it going, praise the Lord. You bought me that chain, didn't you, Jeremiah? It's a defective chain. There's a little hanging down. We can turn it off. Amen. Where was I? Lying. Proverbs chapter 6 says that God hates liars. Take your Bible and go over there with me. I want you to see it. Proverbs chapter 6. What was it that Rocky and Bullwinkle, on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, Rocky, he said, I didn't even know the power of my own strength. Ain't that what he used to say? Look at Proverbs chapter 6. When this goes out on the radio, whoever's listening, I pulled the chain off the fan. Proverbs 6, look in verse 16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. God hates liars.
Yeah. Amen.
Now listen, the very first thing that after Paul contrasted and that the new man and the old man, the very first thing he dealt with was lying. I found that a little amazing. Because for some reason, man has a tendency to want to lie if he ain't careful. And listen, he said one of the attributes of a Christian should be to tell the truth. He said, look, he said, honesty is an attribute of God. The book of Hebrews says that God cannot lie. Hey, if the new man is created after God in righteousness and true holiness, then that ought to be one of our attributes.
Amen.
Is that we're not going to lie, that we're going to tell the truth. So if you've got a lying problem tonight, then you need to get right with God. Amen. He said, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now he's talking about saved folk again right here. He said, look, he said, we're members one of another. Hey, we're the same body. We're the same people. We ought not to lie to one another. You ever had part of your body lie to you? Try to get it to do something. You're telling it to do something, but it can't do it, or it won't do it, or vice versa. It's doing something that you don't want it to do. Sometimes my hands will draw. If I've used them for a long time, they'll just begin to draw. And they'll drop. I have some tendonitis in my hands. And they'll just draw up. And especially, you know, when they begin to draw and I have to straighten them out. They're doing something. I'm telling them to open up, but they ain't going to open up. They're drawing. And somebody's lying somewhere in my mind or my hand, or something's happening that ain't working right. And it's no different when one of us lies one to another. We're members of the same body.
Amen.
We ought not to be doing that. You say, well, I'm liable to make them mad, or they're going to be disappointed. Then go ahead and make them mad or let them be disappointed, but tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Tell the truth. Look what he said next. He talks about the new man. He says not to lie in verse 25. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Now notice what he said right here. He deals with anger in verse 31, where he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. He said, when he says, be angry and sin not. Now, do you know that there's an anger that we can have and not sin? Did you know that? Hey, listen, I think a preacher ain't worth his salt if he can't get up and preach with a little anger sometimes. Hey, when I'm preaching on the liquor trade, and I'm preaching against the dope, and I'm preaching against sodomy, I ought to get a little mad. Amen. You ought to get a little mad against sin. Did you know that? Sin ought to make you mad. Sin in somebody else's life, sin in our nation, sin in your life ought to make you mad. Ought to make you angry. But he said, be angry and sin not. See, the thing about anger, and I'll deal with this here in a minute, if you let it have its head, it'll get the best of you. Anger has a way of taking over if you'll let it tonight. Do you know you've got to be careful with anger? Well, you do. I remember one of my preachers years ago used to say this. He'd say, if you lose your temper, guess who's going to find it? In Proverbs chapter 22, and I'll come back to this again, I'm sure. He said, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. He said, you go with an angry man, you're going to learn to be angry, and he said, it's going to be a snare to you. But he said, be angry and sin not. I think it does us good to be angry sometimes. What do you mean it does us good? Well, it'll make us do something. Amen? I've seen some parents, I'm thinking, man, when I'm in town, I wish they'd get angry with their children. Because
yeah.
I am. Yeah. I want to do something to them.
Amen.
And man, I wish their parents would get angry with them.
Amen.
Huh? He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I think you need to deal with it and move on. Amen. I just be honest, I believe that's what he's talking about right there. And then he says, neither give place to the devil. And I've already talked about that. You lose your temper and you let your anger take you over. You are going to give place to the devil. But I'll be honest with you, it can go even further than that. And neither give him place to the devil. Hey, you don't need to let him have any room in your life at all. I come in the house the other day and I was thinking about a message. And it just crossed my mind. Then I went on, but Some people just let the devil live rent free in their head. They don't let him, he don't pay a dime to live there. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to let him live rent free, hey, you ought to cost him something tonight. If he's going to hang around with you, hey, it ought to cost him something tonight. Ought to cost him a battle and ought to cost him a fight this evening, amen? But you need to let your anger be the right kind of anger. That righteous indignation. But not the kind that lets us sin or makes us sin. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a fine line right in there. My wife, I mean, there's a fine line. I remember my wife told me a story one time, and most of the time my temper does not get the best of me, but when you start telling me children it's been abused, there's some things that rile up on the inside of me. There's not a whole lot riles me up, but when you take a child who cannot defend itself, I get a little angry. Amen? Hey, the Bible said it would be better than to offend one of them little ones if a man was to take a millstone, tie it about his neck, and be cast into the sea. Hey, he said he ought to tie a rock around him, jump off a bridge somewhere into the running water, and drown himself than to offend one of them little ones. Hey, I believe what he said.
Amen.
They just need to go kill themselves. Amen. You believe that's what that means? I believe that's what that means. You can believe what you want to, but I believe the Bible tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me move on tonight. I'm trying to go fast, I promise. Then look what he said in verse 28. Now this is amazing that he would have to deal with this. He said, let him that stole steal no more. You know, before some people get saved, they're thieves.
That's right.
That's what they do. Brother Larry Seals, he'll tell you, he was just a thief before he got saved. But boy, when God saved him, God saved him.
Amen.
But let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. So we see right here that we're not to steal. We're not to be guilty and that of lying. We're not to be guilty and that of letting anger overtake our life in so much and that we've gave place in that to the devil. And we ought not to be guilty and that of stealing. We ought to be guilty in that of telling the truth. We ought to be guilty of having a righteous indignation that does make us angry but keeps us from sinning. And then we ought to be faithful in that to go to work and work that thing which is good. Now, notice how Paul worded that. He said, let him that stole steal no more, so we know that we're not to steal. We're not to be a thief. And by the way, a liar will steal from you and a thief will lie to you.
That's right.
Amen. But rather let him labor. Boy, that'd be a good thing for folk to learn tonight, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Go to work. Don't be afraid to work. Work ain't going to kill you.
Amen.
What was it today? You remember? Mowing the yard, wasn't it? Yeah, Mom and Daddy was telling us a story about a feller that was mowing his yard and he just fell over dead mowing the yard. And we're sitting at the dinner table and I hit Kelly on the shoulder and I said, mowing the yard will kill you. I got to quit. Now, the thing about it was, he was 86 years old and still mowing his yard.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 tonight. Proverbs chapter 6. Look with me in verse 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. We're living in a generation where folk don't want to work. And we're living in a generation where church people don't want to work. They want the church to either keep them up or they want the government to keep them up. And I understand folk that cannot work. I'm talking about can't work.
Amen.
That are physically impaired from working is one thing. But he said in verse 6 right here, chapter 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You don't, unless you go to work, unless you're going to be willing to work, you're not going to make it. He said over here, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. But then he said this, the thing which is good. See, there's a lot of things out there to work at that ain't good.
Amen.
There's a lot of jobs that you can have that ain't good to have. Amen.
Amen.
Doing wrong things. I believe it was Brother Frankie told me years ago, there was a preacher come up on the front porch out there at First Bible Baptist, and he told Preacher Hogan that he had prayed for a job and God gave him a job. And he said, "Well, what's your job?" He said, "God gave me a job driving a beer truck." Preacher Hogan said, "God didn't give you no job."
No.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. God don't want his people involved with that stuff. That's why he said to do what? But labor with his hands the thing which is good. But then he gave us the reason of why to do that. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Ah. So it's not only for our benefit that we go to work, but it's for others. You say, "Well, I'm doing the work." You remember just a few minutes ago I told you there are some folk that are physically impaired and cannot go to work. Who do you think is supposed to take care of them?
Yeah.
Well, the church is. Yeah. We are. All right, listen, if they're saved, we're to see to them and take care of them. He said that you may have to give to him that needeth. Listen, he said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, he said, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." I would rather have it to give to somebody that needed as to be on the needing side.
Amen.
Been on both sides, I know. But I would far rather have it to give. Amen. Hey, Luke chapter 6 said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You want to be stingy? You can be stingy. But friend, when that time of need comes, I wouldn't expect a whole lot.
Amen.
Just going to be honest about that. Verse 29. "Not only are we not to steal, but to work the thing which is good. And by the way, you need to work. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." He said, if you ain't going to work, then you ought not to eat. He said, if you don't provide for your own, especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. He said, if you ain't going to work, provide for your own, he's talking to saved folk. He said, then you're worse than a lost person.
Amen.
That's what he said. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You understand that most of these tell you what not to do and then tell you what to do? Did you catch on to that yet? He said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." We should have no bad language, no filthy language. Go over to the next chapter. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And look in verse 1. Or be right there with me. He said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God." What's he talking about right here in verse 4? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Hey, our speech ought to be clean speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our speech ought to be good speech.
Amen.
I mean, hey, we shouldn't talk like the world. He said in Colossians 4, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." We ought to talk like saved people. Not because we want folk to think that we're saved. A lot of people talk right when they get around this kind of people. And then when they're around this kind of people, they talk like this kind of people. I don't care where you're at, you're talk like a saved person.
Amen.
Hey, you know what they told Peter out there, gathered up around the fire, when they told him, he said, "Oh, you're one of his disciples." He said, "I ain't one of them." They said, "Look, your speech bewrayeth you." In other words, it betrays you. And then Peter began to cuss.
Amen.
Why? He wanted to act like them, didn't he? His speech told on him. Your speech will tell on you tonight. He said, we ought to have good speech, that is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, your speech ought to build people up, not tear them down. You ever been around somebody that's just always got bad things to say?
Yeah.
Now remember, what am I preaching on right now? Commands that should change the Christian life tonight.
things you have to do. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you need to stop and think before you open your mouth, and the preacher too. I'm telling you, man, mine will get in neutral sometimes and roll way down the hill before I can get the emergency brake on. I'm telling you, sometimes it gets in drive with the gas on the floor. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. Sometimes it's just running wide open, more than what I can get it to stop. You ever seen somebody that their legs, that their body gets in front of them quicker than their legs? And they can't stop? You ever seen that? Have you ever done that? I have. You too, Caleb? Me too, buddy. I tell you, I've done that. You know my mouth gets in that shape sometimes? And I mean it gets tilted in front of my body, and before I know it, it's running away, and I can't stop it. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to land flat on it if I ain't careful. He said to do something with our mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of it. Wrong things, evil things, bad things. Don't be telling dirty jokes. But that which is good to the use of edifying, in other words, to build up and minister grace unto the hearers. Whoever's listening, it ought to be a graceful speech to help them. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Ain't you glad the Holy Spirit sealed us? Now stay with me. I just got a few more verses. Don't let me lose you, okay? I'm hurrying, I promise. Ain't you glad the Holy Spirit sealed us? Amen. And it's keeping us until the day of redemption. Hey, Ephesians chapter 1 over there tells us this, that we are sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. But he tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know what that word grieve means? It means to afflict pain on or to make sorrowful, but it means to offend. I think a lot of times when we do these things in these verses, prior to this verse and after this verse, I think that grieves the Holy Spirit. But I'll just be honest with you. I think when we don't pay attention to Him and we don't obey the direction of the Holy Spirit, I think that grieves Him. I think it does. I mean, He tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians to quench not the Spirit. And I'm going to be honest with you. He's easy to offend. He really is. And He tells us just don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I try to be sensitive when I come in here, when I get ready to have a meeting, whether it's in Sunday school or whether it's in singing or in the choir and preaching, try to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But then verse 31 and verse 32, he begins to lay these things out. And he gives us some quick ones right here. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speak, and look what your Bible says, be put away from you with all malice. There it is again. Something for us to do. All these things are for us to do. Let. Go back to verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. In verse 30 he said, grieve not things that were not to do. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So we come back to that. To that anger, to that bitterness. Let me deal with this bitterness real quick. And I know I've preached that message on the root of bitterness that talks about in Hebrews 12, looking diligent, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, that word bitter means sorrow or pain of affliction or an extreme enmity and hatred. You know, the Bible talks about Samuel's mother Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, that she was a woman that had bitterness. She was in bitterness of soul. Why? Because of the situation that she was in. Can I tell you that people get bitter at God, they get bitter at each other, they get bitter at the situation that has happened. You can get bitter. You can get very, very sorrowful. Have you ever seen anybody that has been bitter to be around? Now there's a difference between somebody that is sad and somebody that is bitter. Somebody that is bitter, I'm going to go back to that old statement again. Misery loves company. And they're just miserable. I mean, they're just literally, whatever made them miserable, they're just miserable, but they love living in their misery.
Amen.
And they want you to live in their misery with them. Now, there's things that can cause us to get bitter. I mean, man, there's a lot of situations that can cause us to get bitter. Friendship ends wrong. The words are said. Things are done wrong.
Hey, listen, there's situations that come. God takes children from parents and they get bitter toward God. And I mean, maybe a spouse is lost and maybe divorce comes. And folk just gets bitter at the whole thing. But Paul tells us to let all bitterness. Now, that's you tonight. You got to do that. Just let it go. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, those things that that bitterness is contained into that wrath and that anger. You know, what makes you want to lash out at people? Makes you lose your control and lose your ability to control yourself. You ever been that angry? I mean, that angry, but very few times in life. Very few times in life have I been that angry to where I've lost control. And it's mostly been in my mouth. We go back to that again. But he said to take that wrath. Wrath makes you want to act out. Anger makes you want to do something than that against somebody. He says that clamor and evil speaking, that noise and that wrong speaking, that evil speaking, that's driven by the devil, you see. He said, you put that stuff away from you with all malice. Now there it is. Malice drives every bit of that. What is malice? Malice is an extreme enmity of the heart. A disposition to injure others without cause, having a spirit of revenge. I'm going to get even with them. That's malice. I'm going to get even with them. You know what drives bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking? Malice. Drives every bit of it. You get the malice out, you can begin to deal in that with the bitterness and anger and the clamor. All of it, you can begin to deal with it. But you have to do it. Now God will help you. But you got to be willing to do that thing. I'm determined some people are just happy being mad. You ever just run into people that are mad all the time? You talk to them, they're mad. I mean, they're mad at you. They're mad at somebody. I remember I went to a funeral one time. Me and somebody else did. And the preacher that was actually preaching the funeral, man, they had a boatload of preachers there. And I remember, there's about 300 of us sitting in the congregation. And he gets up to preach. And I don't know where he got to in the middle of that message. But somehow he got to the point to tell us that he was mad at half of us. Appreciate it, Chief. You got a dead man laying down here in front of you trying to preach your funeral and you're telling us that you're mad at half of us. I don't know what to tell you. Bible said in 1 Peter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and evils and envy, and all evil speakings. You know, Paul put it like this. He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Right. You know what living in malice will do? I got to thinking about that when I studied this. Living in malice, consumed by it. Consumed by that spirit of revenge and getting even. And I they've done me wrong and I'm going to get even. I got to. You ever seen anybody like that? He said we were disobedient and deceived. And he said we were hateful and hating one another. But then he told the church at Corinth, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. I've explained that verse a million times. You've watched two young'uns get mad at each other. And you know what? It don't take them but just a few minutes most of the time and they're already playing again. Just being honest. Yeah. Good. Verse 32. He said, and be ye kind one to another. See, now he gave us a colon right after that word malice, so he's going to tell us something else about what he's been talking about. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we see what we're not supposed to be in verse 31, but how we are supposed to be in verse 32. Just some commands right here given to the Christian. We've seen the contrast
between the old man and the new man. But then we find the commands that are given to us. He said, first of all, not bitterness, but kindness. Have kindness one to another. Hey, listen, he said, if you can do good, you do good. You be kind to each other. Just love on each other. Boy, I tell you what, we as church people sometimes, and luckily this church ain't that way, but I've been around church folk that all they want to do is fight.
Amen.
And I'm talking about one with another. I ain't interested in that. I think we ought to be kind one to another.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, wasn't God kind to us?
Yeah,
we ought to be kind one to another. Look what he said next. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted.
Yeah.
We ought to have a little softness about us. We ought to have a little care one for another. And say, well, you know, if I was in the shape that they're in and I done, how would I want to be treated about some things? How would I want to be treated? You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of a tender heart on our part. You know what we have to do sometimes? We got to say, God, we sure do need a tender heart right here. Because mine ain't all that soft right now. And I need you to help me. You know what? If you'll tell the Lord that you want a tender heart and you're honest about that thing, God will give you a tender heart. He'll do it. He'll do it. He said, be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. He said, be kind, be tender hearted, and then forgive. He said, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. Forgive them.
Right.
Forgive them. Just forgive them. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, just suffer. Suffer the wrong. He said, just suffer the wrong. Now, we're talking about saved people. Just suffer the wrong. Just learn to forgive them. Why? Why, preacher, should we do all that? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You wasn't worthy to be forgiven. This preacher wasn't worthy to be forgiven. Still ain't worthy to be forgiven. But he has.
Amen.
Nothing good that I done. I didn't deserve it. And I'll tell you what, some people may not. You may not think they deserve forgiveness. But have some kindness and be tender hearted and forgive them anyway. Hey, I'm telling you, if you want a Christian life, if you want to change, if you want to change on the outside, that's what you're going to have to do. That's what you're going to have to do. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. Let's give us a verse of invitation. Just a contrast of the old man and the new man. And some commands for the new man. We ought to be different tonight, church. We ought to be different. Folk ought to be able to look at us and say, man, them people are different. Man, I mean, they don't talk like us. They don't act like us. Man, they've got good speech. They live right. They live holy. Their dress is holy. Huh? I mean, they're trying to raise their children right in holiness. These people go to church. I mean, more than just Sunday morning. I mean, they're just different people. You know, they had a right to have been angry with this person. But you know what they done, man? Instead of getting angry, They just forgave him. They forgave her and just let that thing go. Ain't that amazing when they talk? Man, if they had told that lie, they might not have got in as much trouble, or they might not have had somebody mad at them if they had just told that lie. But you know what they done? They chose that they was going to tell the truth. Because truth's what matters. Friend, there just will be a difference in us tonight. A great difference from the world. Heavenly Father, help during this invitation, I pray. If there's somebody lost, save. If there's somebody needs to come tonight. Lord, just need some help changing the outer man. Lord, I know I've been a little lengthy tonight, but I pray it's been a help to people. I really do. And that God, that each of us would see the seriousness of being different. Just being different. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with that. If somebody needs to move, I pray they'll move tonight. For these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand tonight.